From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
it's Denny, Dave, and Moore. Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
I hope everybody enjoyed that as much as I did. We talked to John Stanton, owner, chairman of the board for the Seattle Mariners, about the extension to Jerry DePoto, Mariners general manager. And we've got a lot to do today and a lot of excitement here at Safeco Field. We're at Edgar's Cantina each Friday home game. It's brought to you by Greg's Japanese Auto as well as Seoul. But there is a new sort of era of Mariner baseball in my mind, a different chapter. And John Stanton was very gracious in connecting it to, and he's been here, and Kevin Mather's been here, the president. But there's also a turning of the page in some respects, and the way that this team under Jerry DePoto and Scott Servais has been built and is playing is different. And today's announcement of an extension isn't surprising, but it is a recognition and a confirmation that this franchise is on the right track moving forward.
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing that that I liked the most coming out of that was that, you know, he talked about Jerry DePoto's intellect and how smart he is. Because you look at, okay, John Stanton, this guy is, I'm sorry, what was a wireless company that he started? Was it?
He started VoiceStream, which is now T-Mobile.
Right.
Which, essentially, that was one of the biggest. But he's been a serial entrepreneur here, one of the heavyweights in Seattle business.
Yeah. And so, I mean, these guys are smart. The ones that make that much money, they're very intelligent people. They're very smart. They're good business people. A lot of times you get, you know, GMs are good at identifying talent is what they are. But they're not, you know, necessarily savvy in other areas. And Jerry, I just rave about the Wheelhouse podcast that they have, that Aaron Goldsmith does. And you just get to hear everything that Jerry is thinking, whether it's about food or, you know, life or his family or whatever. And he's just an incredibly intelligent guy. And so what Stanton said there was that I think, you know, with the salary cap, or what was he saying, with the you know, that it dictates that you, in order,
or the Yankees used to just buy their team.
Exactly. And so that now you have to be the smartest, you know, if you have the smartest GM, then you're probably going to have a competitive advantage. And I thought that was the thing about Jerry DePoto that was always, I liked hearing that confirmed, basically, that, I mean, he's articulate. Like you said, there are smart guys, and then there are people that can articulate, and he's both. And so that's the thing that makes me feel really good about being a Mariner fan going forward. I just think as long as you have Jerry DePoto here, he's going to make good decisions. And, you know, and that, look, maybe he's gotten lucky this year for these things working out, but I don't think so. I think that he has, and he talked about Scott Servais and how he is at a point where he's at the top of his game. And I think those two working together is going to, it's going to mean good things for Mariner baseball for a long time to come.
Yeah, and part of it that I really enjoying, I know it probably doesn't have a whole lot to do with what we're seeing, the success on the field, but with John Stanton, Jerry DePoto, and Scott Servais, so all very bright men, and yet I appreciate how down to earth they are. They're guys that you truly want to pull for. Like I was just telling John when he left, I just appreciate who he is, just a baseball guy, and yeah, I mean, you know, he could have all the arrogance in the world, he could be condescending, and he's just a guy you really want to have a beer with. And DePoto's the same way, and keeping the sense of humor about things. These guys never bristle about anything, and I just really appreciate who they are as people, and then leaders of this franchise, too.
I think my favorite answer from Jerry DePoto, and we've talked to him, this is, what, the third year that we interview him each week, which I love doing on Thursdays when we talk to Jerry DePoto. My favorite answer that he's given, it was kind of a, well, this will be shocking, somewhat offbeat question for me. It was kind of stupid, where I asked, do you feel like you're hot with your trades, and do you want to throw a couple more up for heat checks?
Yeah, that wasn't a bad question.
It wasn't great. Like, that's,
I mean,
not a real cerebral. Right.
Like,
and what he said is, well, I've had a few air balls in there, too. And, like, honestly, I think that's significant that he's got that acknowledgement, because the people who are the smartest ones in the room are the guys that know. They don't think they're perfect.
Yeah.
They don't think that they've never made mistakes, or I'm infallible, or I've got a Midas touch. What it is that, hey, I've got an approach that I use, and I believe in the approach long term. I don't believe my approach is perfect, and I don't believe that I'm the smartest guy in the room. But I think that the best way for me is to, he makes a lot of trades, and some of those trades aren't going to work out. But he thinks on the whole, that's going to get him closer to a better team and the team he wants. And I just found that really just the ability, the confidence that it takes to be able to acknowledge your own shortcomings, which I think is a very adult sort of thing, to realize that you goof things up. And as good as your intentions might be, you're going to foul them up. And the other thing is to think that, like, hey, there's good and there's bad. I hope ultimately the good ends up outweighing the bad, because that's what makes success.
Yeah, and I always think the smartest people in the world don't think they're smart. And therefore, they're always trying to learn. They're always trying to get new ideas and come up with, different ways to think about things. And I think that's what you got in Jerry DePoto. We're kind of gushing over Jerry right now, but I think if you meet him in person and, you know, just look him in the eye, he's a really impressive guy. And same with John Stanton. It's just it's amazing. You know, I guess I'll take a shot at Ken Behring, but when I've been around, like, people like I mentioned, you know, John Stanton, for example, John Nordstrom, Pat Bowlen, and, you know, owners, except for Ken Behring, there was really nothing there. But when you're
well,
around
you can
people
rip that, Ken Behring all you want, because yeah, you're trying to take him to LA.
Yeah, there was just nothing there with him. I didn't get that. Like, he seemed like more of a lottery winner to me than anything else. But you get around these other people and you see why they are as successful financially and just as far as business goes, that why they're that successful. So there's something special about DePoto. I think I agree with Stanton. I think when you have the smartest guy probably in the league, and of course he said he doesn't know all of them, but, you know, this is a guy that, like you said, Danny, I think when you're self-effacing and you understand that you don't know everything and that you sometimes will make mistakes, I mean, that just means that you're a person that's always trying to get better.
Yeah, you look at this team that he's built, too, and it's something we talked about earlier in the show, where it's not just this year. I suppose you can say part of their success is attributable to the rest of the league being down this year. They're beating up on some teams that aren't very good, but what the heck, you know? Let's just sit back and enjoy that and see how it plays out. You guys still think that, and DePoto's still going to make some moves, too, to get this team a little better. Maybe they're going to go after Cole Hamels. You know they're going to get another pitcher between now and the trading deadline. And, yeah, it's fun to watch and to see how it plays out.
You make a mention about there being some bad teams. That exists in the backdrop here. I feel like in some ways right now that the safe play, or it's a safer play, tanking's in vogue. Houston's success.
But what's, I heard Graz talking about the other day, what's the point of tanking in baseball?
But the point of tanking is that you trade everything you have at the major league level, and you get multiple prospects. You get, and
okay,
you load your
but
system.
The draft picks don't really do you all that much.
No, but you get higher draft picks, and you get more money, and you do get an advantage in the draft. The bigger advantage comes if you take everything you have that's major league caliber and decide, I'm going to move it, and I'm going to get as many prospects that I look and try to choke your system with guys where instead of having one draft class, you essentially will have two or three draft classes because of the volume of prospects you inject into your system. And then you let sort of attrition play out, and you've got a bigger pool of prospects that are coming through your system at the same time. It's really what Houston did. And Houston is the great example of it. Philadelphia, the 76ers in the NBA are there. There's some safety in that right now because, A, nobody cares about what you do at the major league level for 2 to 3 years. And the other thing is that B, everybody's seen how it's worked for Houston, which got a World Series, and the Philadelphia 76ers, which have seemingly vaulted into the top of it. And to kind of sit there and stand pat and say, well, I think we can navigate around this older nucleus of stars and Nelson and Robinson Cano and Felix and Kyle Seager. I think we can get things around them. He kind of tried to thread the eye of a needle a little bit, and I think he's been really successful doing it. And I think that when you look at their team now and how much it's changed in the 2 years without them taking an approach that we're going to gut the roster and we're going to bottom it out, I feel very confident going forward that Jerry DePoto is going to be able to make the same types of moves to make incremental improvements in the roster. And it's really why an extension today, it might be a little expensive. It's not a tough decision at all.
It'll be interesting to see when the details come out, number one. The other thing would be how soon till they do Scott Servais. And then how about Nelson Cruz? Because we asked him, I think, Jim, you and I had him on the post-game show, and we asked about, I think you asked him about extending Nelson Cruz, and he said both sides don't really want to do it during the season, that it's kind of a distraction, but I don't know. I wonder if that would be like the third domino to fall, that they would get Nelson Cruz, because, you know, did you guys see him last night being the interpreter?
It was
for
awesome.
Guillermo?
Yeah, that was fun.
I think I love that almost as much as watching D leg out that triple and D Gordon, and then the defensive play he made. I just love Nelson Cruz. He is such a good leader, and Jerry has said, look, I think he's going to play into his 40s. So he just turned 38. So I would not be surprised to see that happen soon. But I just, like, you know, Nelson Cruz, I mean, that guy, you want that guy in your locker. And you were saying earlier, yeah, Marco Gonzalez is a guy for a young guy. But, man, as far as an older player, and we've been around Nelson enough times to see that he just is incredibly consistent, and that you can see that he's like a father figure in that locker room. You could see the look in Guillermo's eyes when he was translating for him, that he totally trusts him. It was just, I don't know, it was just one of those weird little things. You know, he might have gone 0 for 4 or 0 for 5 that night, but I still look at that and go, that guy is, that's what it's all about in that dugout and in that clubhouse.
It was sweet.
It was.
Isn't that a weird thing to say?
Yeah, because like it was his little brother.
It was really sweet. Yeah. Like, there was a care that you could see that he was taking for Guillermo Heredia, his teammate, to try and sort of help him enjoy the spotlight on this game where he wasn't even supposed to be in the lineup. He pulls two doubles, including one that drives in the run.
Yeah.
And it was sweet.
No, it was, and it was just nice to see Heredia in the spotlight too, wasn't it? Because I've never heard Guillermo talk before. And so, yeah, it was cool. Nelson Cruz coming to bat for his teammate there. And you mentioned it, Heredia wasn't supposed to be playing. Haniger was supposed to be playing. And then Chris Herman, as a catcher, hitting the solo home run, was Zunino put on the 10-day DL earlier in the day with the ankle injury. And so it just keeps going on like that, where it's a different guy every single night. You just never know who it's going to be.
Can I ask a quick question about Zunino? I fall for how far he hit that ball.
Yeah,
Salk was here earlier, and he was going, oh, you know, it doesn't matter if it's 317 feet or, you know, 485. I'm like, yes, it does. It matters. The fact that he hit that, like, two rows
would you rather have him hit it 350 feet and hit 220 or 190 and hit those
220? No.
Smashes.
250, yes.
I'll take the 400-foot bomb.
Yeah,
over M189?
Sure. Give it to me.
The reason
the three-wood guy saying that.
That's a very good point.
That is a good point.
Let's listen to a couple clips here. This is from Jerry DePoto's press conference earlier today where they announced his extension. In cut number three, he talks about Scott Service's role on reshaping the roster here in Jerry DePoto's time. Coming close to 3 years now.
I think what has happened in that clubhouse, and as an extension, what has happened on our field in 2018, is it began in 2015, the winter of 2015, with Scott Service sitting in offices upstairs and sitting in boardrooms upstairs, talking with our analysts, talking with our baseball operations team, and trying to come up with ideas for how to create a new or exciting environment in a major league clubhouse.
It's really interesting to hear him say that, and that leads into the next question of Scott Service and what happens next for him in his contract. Cut number four, please.
Without question. You know, Scott's been my partner for far longer than we've been here, and whether it be dreaming about what we wanted to create as a franchise, whether that began in player development and what we were doing in scouting, or now culminating with how to build a major league roster and then how to guide it. I don't envision a time where I'm doing my job without him doing his job. And I think so much of what we've accomplished this year is because we have often or always been on the same page.
Yeah, you know, Scott Service, I think, Jim, you were the one that said, because a couple weeks ago or a week ago, we tried to decide, okay, who is most responsible, if you had to pick one person, for getting them to this point? It was back when they were 51, 31, something like that. And you pick Scott Service. Listening to Jerry talk about Scott Service and how his dad, I think his uncle is a coach who was at Creighton, and that when Scott Service retired, he opened up like some kind of a batting cage, and he's like, this guy's a coach. he's a coach through and through, like as much as anyone I've ever known. Like, he was born maybe not even to be a catcher in the major leagues as much as to be a coach. And, you know, for him to say, look, this guy is at the top of his game, and from a tactician standpoint to a guy who's juggling a lot of different personalities, he's doing as good a job as I've ever seen. And, you know, it's pretty high praise coming, I figured, from Jerry DePoto. And it's kind of interesting how those two guys who played together at one point, they realize what their roles are, and that, you know, I don't feel like DePoto's trying to be a coach out there. He's not trying to come down there and manage, but and then service probably the same thing. So that connection there between those guys, and it's funny, I don't see them together very often and interacting, but I'd be very curious to be a fly on the wall when those two guys are having some kind of a strategy meeting.
Yeah, well, we've seen the importance of it with Schneider and Carroll over across the water, and so you're seeing the same thing here with the service and DePoto. And so, yeah, it's just fantastic. You know, the other thing about DePoto, and people are talking about this already too, is that he just lays out what he was going to do. He basically, when he first got here, said what he planned to do: get more athletic, build a team for this ballpark. And what I appreciate is how candid he is, and it doesn't seem, I know that he's keeping some things from us, but with Zarensic, I felt like he was keeping a lot of things from us. But DePoto just lays everything out there for everyone to see, and then you just look at his plan and you go, okay, well, that makes sense. Then he follows up with it. Kevin Mather talking about it today, the president of the Mariners, how he told us about the plan, and sure enough, the plan has worked.
And when the plan doesn't work, he's not afraid to change courses. And I'll bring up this. Early in Jerry's tenure here as the GM, one thing that they did was bring in fly ball pitchers.
Yeah, the fly ball pitcher guys.
And the thought was that, hey, you know what? It's a bigger park. Let's play to the strength. It's not a novel thought. Other guys have done it. Chris Young was a guy that came here and had some success. It's not the first one. But they were not afraid of bringing in guys who had given up, had higher home run rates than you would usually like in a pitcher. And what happened over the past couple of years? Well, I think we can all see it. The home run totals have spiked. And I think there's a fair amount of acceptance. The ball has changed. Like, whether you want to call it a juice ball or whatever, it's happened. There's more home runs happening now because the ball has changed. They stopped doing that. They recognize that, hey, you know what? The whole fly ball pitcher thing doesn't work when the fly balls are traveling farther now because of the new ball. And they changed approaches. And that's the thing about being smart and being able to adapt to results, which is you don't have to be the smartest guy in the room if you're the guy that can learn from his mistakes as well. It's not about having a silver bullet or some sort of magic formula of, like, I've got this image for the player. It's about having an ability to recognize what's going on, react, and adapt to it.
Yeah, you know what? I would draw a parallel between DePoto and Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll is like, that guy will never complain. I don't think he ever allows himself to have a bad day. And that's tough to do because, look, we all like to gripe, right?
Yes, I love griping.
Griping is great.
Well, Pete never has a bad day.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll?
Yeah, he's got to, though, right?
I mean, not that you can see.
Not and like so, me, where I'm like today storming around, got all this going on.
You had a lot going on at your house.
I did. There was a lot. There was people there. There was patio furniture being dropped off.
And it sounds like you have a neighbor that even I want to punch.
No. Yeah. She's difficult. Water dripping off the deck today.
Oh, no, I wasn't talking about that one.
Yeah.
Talking about the guy down in the alley.
Yeah, I got a plan for him as well.
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, I mean, look, we all love to do that. And it's something I guess you probably need to do as a person. But those guys don't allow themselves. Jerry DePoto, Pete Carroll, I'm drawing the parallel there, is that they're just always positive. And that's part of being a leader, right? I mean, you can't be one of the guys that's griping and, you know, but I like the griping, so.
I do, too. But would you argue that, or would you agree with me that, okay, DePoto is changing on the fly, and Carroll is insisting on going to the run-first offense. He wants to go back to, and he won't adjust to maybe a different type of offense that might serve him better.
I think there's some fairness in that. The one thing you'd have to look at is he insisting on getting back to something that worked? It might not be a square peg in a round hole.
Oh, that's true, because the fly ball thing hasn't.
Correct. You had observable. It was observable that the fly ball approach did not work. We'll see if they start running the ball like Pete wants, and they can't win. Then I think we could say that maybe that's true. It is Danny David Moore. I believe we've got Shannon Dreyer who's going to join us.
We do.
Next.
We have eyes
grand
on
entrance.
Here she comes. We're going to talk to her next.
is Danny Dave and Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
It is Danny Dave and Moore. We're here at Edgar's Cantina. Our coverage on Friday is brought to you by Seoul as well as Greg's Japanese Auto. We got Shannon Dreher with us. Shannon, how the heck are you?
It's been a busy day, Danny.
I know. You've got a lot going on with this team. You've got a team that's won 9 of 10. Get back on the winning track tonight.
Is Jim going to bother to show up?
Well, I believe...
You know, we used to have NRP, was a rating in when I was in the NFL.
Yes.
Not ready to play. And you would, whether the guy's like screwing around, looking somewhere, or not in his position. And I have Jim marked down for 10 NRPs this year so far.
What would those be? Not turning your microphone on?
Not ready to play.
Not ready for hair.
Not in here.
It's an old college friend of mine over there, and I haven't seen him in a long time. Robert Landick right over there.
Hey, Robert.
Go Cougs, Robert.
Go Cougs.
Yeah, go Cougs.
Great. Super.
Yeah.
We got Shannon Dreher.
Oh, hi, Shannon.
Yeah.
I saw Shannon last night.
That's right. Bark at the park.
Bark at the park. River was there. Well-behaved dog.
Was he? Was he in the pool? It looked
more
like
well-behaved than Jim.
River had a great time
Did
last
he?
Night.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. I texted Jim that, hey, I'll be up, and I knew exactly where to find him.
In the pool.
Not in the pool.
The bar?
Yes.
Look out, Landing Bar.
Didn't know what seat he had or anything. Went right to
there
him in River.
Yeah, one of those 24-ounce Coors Lights.
Oh,
nice
beauty.
And chilly.
Hey, it's Jim Moore, Coors Light drinker.
That's true. Coors Light drinker right up there. Yeah, I have one in my hand there. So.
Sometimes soul drinker.
Yeah.
So where, did yeah. I miss anything with Shannon?
We just got started.
We're talking to her about Jerry DePoto.
Sorry, Shannon.
Not a surprise that the extension is done. It's got to be an encouraging sign for this franchise in its direction.
I think it's huge. And I just wrote, I mean, this time of the year, so many times, too many times, we've been kind of trying to figure out what next. Is it going to be a new manager? Is it going to be a GM? Are they going to give up on a plan? And walking around the building when that's going on, particularly if it is the GM, you feel it because it affects so many people. It's not just what happens on the field. It's what happens in the front offices. And so it's so nice. This, you know, let's do this more often. It just the direction that they're going in right now. You know, Jerry DePoto has not only been able to give them the wins on the field that they're seeing right now, and obviously Scott Service has been a huge part of that too. But continuity, and we just have not had that here with this franchise for so long.
So how long until Scott Service gets his extension, do you think, Shannon?
Well, from the press conference today, I mean, it sounds like it's in the works or will soon be in the works. You know, Jerry said on multiple occasions he can't imagine doing what he's doing right now without Scott doing what he's doing. They've been partners for a long time. He called it that, gave him a lot of credit for what we're seeing on the field and in that clubhouse right now. So I would guess that's up next because, you know, this one doesn't affect what goes on in the clubhouse as much. I think with the manager, that's where maybe there is a little bit more question. So it would be good to have that just done.
Well, and since we're doing that, I guess I'll take it the next step, only because I want to bring his name up, Nelson Cruz. Nelson Cruz, last night, Shannon, when he did the interpretation for Guillermo Heredia, it just, Danny said it was sweet. I was like, I love that guy. And, you know, he's maybe a guy that would be next in line. But Jerry said that one time that he thought that that's something that neither a player nor the other side wants to do. But do you think there's possibility that something might happen with Nelson Cruz since we're signing people?
I hope so. I know that there's been, well, where do you put Robbie when he comes back? You've got to keep D at second base, don't you? And how does this fit? And wouldn't that make most sense then to put Robbie into the DH spot? I say no. I say you have to find a way. You had no choice in the matter in taking Robinson Cano out of that lineup. You do have a choice in the matter in taking Nelson Cruz out of that lineup. You need to find a way to make that work.
I would agree.
How much would you pay him, though?
I don't care, Jim. You get it done. You know,
he's
going to
be 39
actually,
next year, though.
Oh, we're not starting this again.
I didn't think we
How's
started
How's he doing
it?
Right now?
I didn't think we started
How's he
before?
Done the last four? Oh, your tweet.
Oh, my tweet. That's right.
You sent me off for an entire afternoon with that tweet.
What'd you tweet?
Well, I typically think that when guys get into their 30s, late 30s, like Nelson Cruz, that he's going to taper off at some point. And so that's why I said, how much would you give him? So what's he making now, $17 million a year?
I think 14.
14?
Yeah.
But so 10 maybe? But you would think there's going to be a market for him.
Well, that's what you have to find out. And last year was a very strange free agent market. And guys that are one-dimensional, and his dimension is a huge dimension, but there wasn't much of a market. for that. So what's the competition going to be? Who could use him as a DH right now? I would just assume they put a number on it and don't look around and don't let it get to that. But I don't think it's a slam dunk as to what that number is now because of what we saw last offseason. Originally, there was talk of a David Ortiz-type deal for him and lots of vesting options and options that aren't too tough to get to and a higher dollar value. I think he is worth it to this franchise.
Don't you think, though, of all the people on this team, all the guys on the team, that like he would be the guy that would take like the most the most less money? I mean, look, if the Dodgers or, you know, Boston or whatever are offering him like $2 or $3 million more, that like just to stay here because his family, just how invested he is in this team, and what a good teammate he is.
I wouldn't assume that.
I would assume that
his motivations at where he is in his career right now is he'd like to get a ring. I think that's going to be way up there. And then I also am going to think years are going to be big for him because he knows he's getting to the end of it right now. Now, hopefully not as close as Jim seems to think, like tomorrow it's all going to end, but he knows that he's probably looking at his last contract with extensions.
I would think that Jim would be for the older guys.
I know. It's one of the many contradictions in the paradox that is Jim Moore.
65 now? What do you keep saying?
65 in 4 years.
Yeah. And he wants to be on a dock regardless of how his overall financial
standing. He deserves to be on a dock.
It wouldn't be so bad, though, if Nelson Cruz were not on this team next year and you turned Cano into the DH and a part-time first baseman.
Why would you not want to have Cano and Cruz right now on this team? Because that's what you're going to have next year. If you go to New York and you look at that lineup and you want to go into that and you want to compete with them in the postseason and the regular season with just one or the other, when you have the option to have both.
How many players are productive at 39, though?
You can't look at it that. He's an individual.
Here's the thing I would say, Jim. Yeah, I would say
he's an individual.
Until you find a guy that's a better hitter than him, until you find a guy that's a better, and you're like, this guy's a better DH. He's a better pure hitter than Nelson Cruz. And then you can make an apples-to-apples, like which one costs less and or is younger. I don't know if you can do that. Getting back to Jerry DePoto, and we got Shannon Dreyer here for a couple more minutes. Jack Cerenzik was a guy, he got extended at one point. Does this feel different than that extension for Jack Cerenzik?
It feels that they are very solidly on the same page. I think that when Jack got extended, there were some question marks. It wasn't, you know, you didn't quite trust in what he was doing. You didn't know if they trusted in what he was doing in that it was going to get them where they wanted to be. I think you look at this, and the word creativity keeps coming up with this group. And I think they're very much, I think John Stanton and Kevin Mather are very much on board and online with what Jerry DePoto does. And I think that's what they desired to bring in. It's not just a matter of going out and spending the most or getting the biggest free agent, although they have spent a lot of money, a lot of it before Jerry DePoto got here. It's the more creative things that they're able to do with the analytics, adding the pitching coaches, the technology that they utilize, going very out of the box with the manager. Let's not forget that when Scott Servais came in here, he'd never managed before, and everybody was going, what? You know, how's this going to work? Well, 3 years later, I would say it's working very well. And then you look at the player moves. And I think that there are a lot of people that worry about the farm system and, oh, you don't have enough prospects. You've had enough prospects to make some pretty significant trades for this organization. Not the biggest names, but everyday players on that field right there. And that's the creativity. The creativity, somebody on an earlier show today asked me what I thought Jerry DePoto's signature move was so far. And they're like, do you think it's Segura and Haniger? And I said, oh, it's probably LeBlanc. You know, why not? Yeah, that is so far out in left field that he's hit on that because he has the vision to do that. They can run the numbers. He had the history with the player. So I'm not sliding the other trade at all, but I think they are so much more on the same page, and I think there are so fewer questions at this point. And it's not a matter of, I need a few more years to make this work, which was the case in Cerenzik. It's a case of, I think it's working right now. And they believe it is.
I like that you said it was just some other show, that it was such a forgettable appearance. It was a show of record that you were on and that you kind of conveniently forgot that was actually Bob Gross and Tom. Yes, I was
listening. Okay, well, my apologies to Bob Gross and Tom. It's been a busy day.
Jim takes every opportunity
he gets. Such a forgettable show.
To say the show of record. Yeah. You aided and abetted his.
I tried not to, if you didn't notice.
I did. We got anything else for Shannon?
Yeah, Shannon, a game and a half behind the Astros. They're still hanging in there. We're getting around the 90-game mark. Can this continue into September?
It has been continuing. At this point, I don't see why not. If this were a month and a half into the season, I would think not. But you know, if they remain healthy with the pitching, which has been so huge, you want to see more offense. You want to see Edwin Diaz have the opportunity to not go into a winning situation. You want to see a 4-run lead sometimes, a 5-run lead for him. But the pitching is so strong right now, and that's, you know, even with all of a sudden been hit by the injury bug again, they know what to do when that happens. So, and then you look at the competition as well. You know, there's some teams that are down this year that should help. But you know, it'd be great if we got into September and those games against Houston are really meaningful, not for a wild card spot, but the head-to-head games with them. See what happens there.
It'll be really fun. She is Shannon Dreher. You'll hear her on the pregame show, which starts at 6 o'clock. First pitch tonight at 7:10. We'll be back to wrap it up and tell you what we learned today on Danny, Dave, and More.
Wow! You sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power!
It's time for us to find out what we've learned. It's brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Maura.
Don't worry, Mara, don't worry. Jim's never ready.
Okay.
He's never ready to start the segment.
Pass
out
a
Park business card. Oh, he's passing out business cards.
Do you have how many business cards do you think you've given out? Hundreds?
You know, last night I thought I would give out like 50, but I only give out 4. I'm not a very good self-promoter. I feel kind of stupid, like, hey, you want to listen to my... But I don't know. I hope people listen to it. But don't you feel weird?
Hope is not a good strategy, Jim.
No,
I'm
going
to come with you next time. I used to do sales.
Yeah,
Merrill
Lynch. I'll do it.
Yeah, come on. We'll go out there.
I tried. I just, like, hey, look at me, what I'm doing. Listen to my broadcast.
Isn't that one of Chuck Knox's sayings? Like, hold out two hands, one in hope, and the other one, and see which one fills up faster.
Poop in one and wish in the other.
Yeah.
Let's see which one fills up faster. Yeah, you know, Danny and I could sell you.
Yeah, we do that.
If anybody is dedicated enough to their dog to bring him to bark in the park, because it seems like a huge hassle. I don't know. I wrote you guys. I would not. I know the first thing Hoover would do. He'd drop a huge deuce right off the get-go, and it would happen like at least 3 times because he does that when I mow the lawn. Whenever I mow the lawn, he goes out and lays one right there in the middle.
Just announce his presence with authority.
Yeah, and so you got to do that. You got to go through that. So anyway, my point is that everybody who brings their dog here, they're going to be dedicated dog people.
Yeah.
And they will listen to the Bark podcast.
Target audience.
I know. I still couldn't do it. It was fun going around the bases, though, with River and everybody had their dogs out there. Yeah it's a good time. Hi, Mara.
Hi.
Oh, hey, Mara. Are you confused?
I appreciate your ambition, Jim.
No, thank you.
The first thing that we learned is Wyman's excuse for being late sounded familiar.
So you're saying you remember baseball names then? No?
No, not necessarily.
Neither? Okay.
Neither.
No, I just felt the need to bust Dave's chops there. You know, he was almost late because he was behind a train today.
Well, he got here before
I
was
behind
did.
A train.
Well, I think, yeah.
I was waiting for the train to pass.
You were waiting for a train? Yeah. So I thought that was a new one. I think, has Grouse used that one before?
If you're driving north on I-5 and you want to get to Safeco, don't take the advice of the signs that are posted out on I-5 north.
Nope.
It says use exit 163. That's bogus.
Yeah, that's correct.
That puts you down under the train tracks.
It's where, when you get down into Soto and don't take the overpasses, it can be an absolute mess. I'd like to back up just one segment. That's the first time anybody has accused Jim of having ambition.
I heard that. I kind of got a kick out of it. I used to. I did. In my 20s, I got after it.
Oh, yeah. We keep hearing about the 20s. I haven't seen it.
No, but the train. I mean, come on.
You like the fresh perspective, Jim?
Yeah. Wait. Using a train as an excuse for being
late. It was
late.
Not an excuse. Like, it was a reason. Train was 2 miles
did
long.
Did this train have 400 cars or something?
Something like that. I sat there for 10 minutes, but I was on time. So
you were on time.
Unlike you in most segments.
Okay. All touché. Right.
The second thing that we learned is the one guy from 710 you want your family to meet.
I will say this, though. If there's one person you want your in-laws to meet from the station, it's the Gross.
Absolutely.
We ran into the Gross.
Are your in-laws coming tonight?
They're not going to be able to be here, which is unfortunate. Yeah. But they were at the game on July 4th, and we ran into the Gross. The Gross is 100. He is the best guy for your in-laws to run
into. He's America's host.
Absolutely.
Gross is. I did a
appearance with him down south somewhere. It was at a casino and sitting there playing blackjack, and Groz is just telling stories, entertaining the entire table, including the dealer.
Yeah, he's great when he shows up. I said that for Bob Stelton's benefit, in case Bob's listening.
This is a gratuitous shot at the Groz.
Apparently Groz doesn't listen to this show.
Groz doesn't care if you rip him, though.
Groz is the best, man.
I will hear, when I do the huddle, Bob will openly admonish Groz, you know, and Groz just sits there and looks at him like, huh? Okay. Whatever.
Groz makes everybody feel like $1 million. When you interact with the Groz, he is an absolute prince. It is Danny David Moore here, Edgar's Cantina. I really enjoy our Fridays. And this Friday's been especially fantastic. The news of Jerry DePoto's extension, we do have some people to thank. I'd like to thank John Stanton for sitting in with us for a half hour. That was really fun. Also, talking to John Clayton, as we always do. Marco Gonzalez, who was, if I was an executive, if anybody trusted, that's the kind of personality I would always bet on. I'd seek that kind of perspective that he has out. Also, Shannon Dreyer joining us out here on the site, our engineer, Brenna Hutchison. Maura was our producer today.
Maura, I want to thank you for putting up with Jim.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Seriously.
You can see how Jim kind of thrives in
these
settings, though. Everybody waving
thanks,
at him. It would be there. And Maura, our producer, Curtis Rogers back on the board. For the three of us, we thank you for listening.